بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It was the habit of Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi that when he would undertake a journey, then he would go to Hazrat Umar Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, take his duas, and thereafter proceed. These great people, the respect they had for each other, consideration, and the love they had for each other, though they were great, very great, but the awliya of the time, they showed them respect as well. Though they were very great in their own personalities, but they had that heart to show consideration for their contemporaries. It wouldn't have made a difference in their lives if they continued and thought to themselves that we are great enough, so what's the need, what's the purpose to go and meet them? Made it a point of going to meet them, taking advice from them, not only meet them, but taking advice from them, and taking advice from them with utmost respect. So whilst we were there accompanying Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah had given some advice. And the crux and the gist of the advice was, be careful of minor sins. Generally, as I understood it, that students, they disregard the minor sins. Maybe they guard themselves against the bigger and major sins, but the minor sins they disregard and they disconsider these minor sins. Whereas these minor sins and these minor good deeds, whether it's minor good deeds or minor sins, they are the real cause for one's destruction or preservation. It's minor good deed, and then that acts as a preservation, as a fortress for your whole deen. And similarly, the minor sins, they become a catalyst and a beginning for the destruction of your entire deeni structure. Small thing. And we have that type of an approach nowadays. It's not so bad. We can wipe off everything, the biggest haram, and say it's not so serious, it's not so bad. So nothing thereafter is too bad. And this is not too bad, then nothing is too bad. Everything is all right, everything is kosher, everything can work. The Sahaba Ikram in their samana, what was considered as a mountain of wrong, now people consider it smaller than a strand of hair. Finer than a strand of hair. They used to consider it to be a mountain of a wrong. And here, we consider it as a small, very insignificant, very, very big, very small thing we consider. So generally, this is the disregard that we show towards these minor good deeds. I look at it, simple things like namaz, for example. I had been explaining about the three aspects that come to ruin the namaz. Right? Getting the jamaat, number two, is apart from getting the jamaat, performing the namaz in the masjid, and number three is doing the postures right. Outwardly, it sounds like a very small thing, insignificant thing. But really, these three aspects, they go to make the namaz. And the simple way that I illustrated last week was just come 10 minutes before the time of namaz, you will see that there is a marked improvement in the quality of your namaz. Allah Pak wants to see the quality in your action. And that quality and that concern that you have in your actions really bring up and pick up the value. In everything for that matter, right, there may be two women, for example, right? Identical in every respect. But now this one's features are a bit different and that one's features are different. Just that feature brings the price on that woman. There's so much more proposal, whatever. Just a little bit features, eyes are like this, ears are like this, and nose is like that. So just that little bit of features picks up the value. Otherwise, health-wise, both are identical, everything is right. But just that, that facial features are different. So you see that features bring about the price, bring about the value of the person. And we may say a million times over, what does that mean now? It's just features. And you're going mad over just features. So really, this is the thing that brings about the price. It brings about the value. Just a little bit of features, and there's a whole ton of sawab, mountain of sawab, just on the features only. So Allah Ta'ala says, لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. All this whole operation of this earth, this whole operation in this whole system, was just to see whose quality is better. When he's in namaz, then how he engages in namaz. Is his mind in me? Does he consider me? Is his fikr, his concentration, is it in me? Or is he just rushing through it? What is the quality of that person's namaz? So if the person is coming in daily, regularly, is coming in earlier, 10 minutes before the namaz can start, before the namaz can commence, he's prepared everything, wuzu, toilet, everything is done, then he's in the musalla 10 minutes before the time. Now, initially it may be a struggle, eventually it becomes a habit. Then he thinks to himself, well, I have to do it. When I have to do it, why can't I do it better? But this is the phase that you have to go through. First, it is difficult. Then you think, all right, now I have to do it. And then you think, at the later stage, when I have to do it, then why can't I do it better? Why can't I improve on it? Azadi Rahmatullah used to explain that the students, when they hear the ta'rif, the definition of mustahab, they get misled. They feel that mustahab, according to the definition that they read about mustahab, is if you do it, it's all right, and if you don't do it, there's no guna. If you do it, there's reward, but if you don't do it, there's no guna for it. So then they have a very relaxed attitude towards mustahab. Because if you don't do it, there's no guna. So when there's no guna, then why should we stress about that mustahab? This is how they feel. This is how they misinterpret the word mustahab. Right? That if you don't do it, then there is no guna. So when there's no guna for it, for leaving it, then why should we go and stress ourselves about that mustahab? So they don't realize that mustahab, the very essence of mustahab, the very essence of mustahab, and the literal meaning, where does it originate from? Right? The literal meaning, where does it originate from? Then you look at the very essence of that word. The very essence of the word is coming from hub. Right? And hub, what does it mean? Muhabbat, love. Right? And it's a law in Arabic, when that verb commences with an alif and sin, right? Mustahab, istahabba, right? So it starts off with an alif and sin. The law is that it creates a meaning of talab, creates a meaning of one being desirous. You are seeking for something. So you are seeking love. So mustahab actually is those actions that you sought the love, you seek the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Allah ta'ala is sought through it. A person who does it, he gains the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do you see what a great thing this is? What a great thing, that mustahab. One is you're doing the farz, you're doing the obligations, right? But really, none of us are just comfortable with just obligations in the rest of our lives, right? In any dimension, any aspect of our lives, if it is just obligations, then we're not comfortable with it. For example, you come home, and the wife says, well, there's bread, and there's some things in the fridge, you can go and help yourself. Has she discharged her farz or not? She discharged her faraz. Now why do you pull the roof down then? Why do you make such a big noise? That faraz, that mustahab, that was mustahab for you, you count it as faraz. That act that was optional for her, she discharges that act of mustahab, you make it like a faraz, as an obligation. Not for once in a month, every day. Every day I need it. That food must be like this. And it must be laid out like this. It must be prepared like this. It must be hot, steaming. And then you present the tea to me. Don't give me from out of the fridge. Don't you say that. Don't you make those demands. So for your personal self, you want so much of quality. Right? For your personal self, you want to have so much of quality. Then you give her that type of love. The love that you give her, you feel is very expensive. Your love is very, very expensive. And she has to strive for it. She must struggle for it. When she struggles for it, then you will give her that love. And Allah Pak is so kind and so gracious. He says, oh no, man, I won't give you guna for that. You don't do it, I won't count it as a guna on your account. I won't grudge you for this. And tell me, if just for 2 days, if she has that approach, will you grudge her? Will all her history just flash before your screen? All the history, she's like this, man. I don't know what's gone wrong with her. She's mad now. She needs to make up her mind. Just for 2 days and your whole magaj, your whole brain will go upside down. Just in 2 days. 2 days she left out her mustahab duties, her optional duties, and it was enough to capsize your whole brain. But for months we leave out our mustahab duties. Let alone the other works, but our mustahab duties we leave out, and we don't feel nothing, we don't feel anything about it. We feel immune towards it. Do you see the importance of mustahab? It's got that madda, it's got the very essence of loving it. That is why you see that the hadith says, you perform that namaz with miswak. Right? And that namaz is multiplied 70 times over. Right? You perform one namaz, but you perform that namaz with miswak. Right? Now that namaz reward is multiplied 70 times over. So what's the reason? The reason is simple. There was more quality in that wuzu. When you made that wuzu, there was quality in that wuzu. You didn't just do it, I finished now, I just made my wuzu and I'm going to perform namaz. No, there was quality, you got some concern, you got some fikr. With all that concern, that all that fikr, now you went and made that wuzu, then you came to the masjid. On account of that quality, on account of that concern, the reward has been multiplied. Now this rule will apply on everything else. That concern, that fikr, you are doing it with that level of concern, and you see it just multiplies. The rewards are just multiplying. You see, one simple act of mustahab or sunnat, the usage of a miswak, but what a difference it makes. What a difference it makes. What a world of difference it makes to that namaz of yours. Okay. If these things were not important, that sahabi had only left out doing the postures right. The only thing that he left out in his namaz was doing the postures with itminan, calmly, peacefully. He left out doing that. He leaves that postures and he comes to meet Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling him, Salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go, repeat your namaz because you haven't performed namaz. The second time, and again Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, go, because you haven't performed your namaz. The third time, again, until he says to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, La uhsinu ghayra hadha. I don't know any namaz besides this. The only namaz I know is this namaz. You see. So if these acts of mustahab or these acts of sunnat were something to be disregarded, then Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wouldn't have emphasized in this manner. Layla, Majnoon, we hear their stories, right? It's a real story. It's not a faked thing. It's a real thing. But sometimes these stories are related. Love and muhabbat are things that are abstract. So you don't understand and appreciate love just if If this law and a qaida is mentioned, you don't just understand it, you can't appreciate it. You need to have some illustration for you to understand love. Right? If there's no illustration, then you don't understand it. So this story of Layla Majnun is a true story. And you'll find the kitabs repeatedly speak about this Layla Majnun. Right? And really there was no haram relationship, like how you have Romeo and Juliet, and they're playing around before the marriage, or even, they're not even married, but they're playing around. So that is not ishq, that is fisq. That is not infatuation and love. That is haram and transgression. This was infatuation. And there was absolutely no relationship between the both. No meeting at all between the both. They didn't meet and court and what haram goes on nowadays, they didn't do all these type of things. It was a relationship, although it was not the right thing for them to do. But it was something that he was infatuated about. The king had called in Majnun. When he heard about this whole story and how they mad for each other, he called in Majnun. So he says, what's wrong with, infatuation? So when he heard the story and all that, so he said, all right, I want to see Layla. Because Majnun himself, he was, if you equate him to today's times, contemporary times, he was like a PhD, like a professor. He was so intelligent. Now, the king couldn't imagine, he couldn't perceive this, that a man of such learning, and then how can he fall down for such a thing? He couldn't come to terms with it. So he called for that Layla. And when he saw her, he just turned his eyes away with disgust. Hey, this thing here, and this man here fell for this thing here. Uski akal ka kya ho gaya? Inhe akal nahi thi kyun? What's wrong with this person here? So Majnun was an intelligent person. So he says, love lies in the eyes of the beholder. What? Not what you say. The person that sees it, the one that goes through it, his love counts. It's not what you feel, what you think about it. Your impressions don't count. It's the beholder who sees it actually, who's going through it, that is love. He's told it in Farsi, that in order to appreciate Layla, you need to have the eyes of Majnun. Right? In order to appreciate Layla, you need to have the eyes of Majnun. See, a lot of this English folklore and these poetries that we have, a lot of them have been extracted from Farsi, Persian. But then they just gave it a different color and a different flavor, but they got all the idea from here. So we're talking about this Layla Majnun, and there are a lot of things to understand. Someone had passed by Majnun, sitting down on the earth, naked earth, and is writing away. He's writing away. So they remarked, hey, this is a very strange type of a letter. The earth is your writing pad, and your hands are the pen. So this type of a letter we never see. So he says, really, my problem is I'm under infatuation, right? And I can't get to meet her. But when I can't get to meet her, the only thing that I can take solace with, and the only thing that I can comfort my mind with, is taking her name. So I'm taking her name. The more I take the name, the more I find the solace, the more I find the ease, the more I find the comfort. In this life, you can't meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You try what you want. You won't meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it can become, you can come to the point where it is as though you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this maqam and this position was unattainable, unobtainable, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa would have not commanded, أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. So when he's commanded that you worship him as though you can see him, means that this is possible. It is possible, you can achieve it. Right? Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi is the Ustad of Muhammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi. He was a Shaykh al-Hadith in Darul Ulum Deoband. So he related the Hadith once that one who performs wuzu properly and thereafter performs two rakats of namaz with concentration, then Allah Ta'ala will wipe out and wash out all his past sins. So this one student got up and asked, Hazrat, is this possible that the 2 rakat namaz is performed with total concentration? So Muhammad Yaqub Sahib asked him, Bhai, have you ever attempted to perform namaz with concentration, or you are just raising an objection like that? You hardly attempted to do it. Without attempting, and you say that this is impossible, go and attempt, go and try it out first, and then say, and without even attempting it, you say, no, it's impossible. So these things are possible. They are possible, they can happen. Really, the very essence of life, the very essence and enjoyment of life is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't understand it, but there are certain concepts that you just have to go with it. Just have to go with it. As you follow it, you will understand it, you will taste it yourself. Until you don't taste it, it's difficult for you to comprehend. You see, a simple way to understand this, something that is abstract, I have to explain it logically, right? The simple way to understand this is, everything in this world is perishable. There isn't a thing that is not going towards destruction and ruin. Even the sun and the moon. Scientifically also, it's got a period, it's got that amount of gas, and that gas is burning out all the time. And after so many millions of years, they will feel that it will perish, and that whole light will wear out, right? So everything, the sun, the earth, everything is going towards destruction, going towards ruin. Ishq bahai o qayyum dar. He says, Rumi says, that if you want to have love, then don't attach your heart to something that is perishable. Because if you're going to attach your heart to something that is perishable, then you will perish. In the pursuit, you will perish. Because that thing is going to perish. With that thing's perishing, you will perish. The man, when you are infatuated, when you're in love, you want to be with the thing that you are in love. You don't want to be separated from it. You want to be with it. The thing is going to separate from you, is going to move away from you. When it's going to move away from you, then you are behind it, you will perish definitely. If that ishq and that love is true, it is absolutely sincere, it is absolutely clear love, pure love, then you want to be with the mahbub, you want to be with the beloved. And it's impossible for you to be with the beloved. When it's impossible for you to be with the beloved, then you will die, obviously. Layla had died. Right? And they hid the information from Majnun. Majnun discovered it. How he discovered, Allah Pak knows. But he discovered that Layla had died. Al-Mawad Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi had a parrot. He passed away. The day he passed away, that parrot didn't eat for 3 days. The 4th day, that thing died. Now, how that thing discovered that Murana passed away? It's something that our minds can't work. That thing has got a 5th sense it could make out. It didn't see the body. It's in a different room totally. It's outside. How did that thing make out that this master of minds had died? But that thing made out that he died. And the 4th day, that thing died, finished. You see? So they hid the information, they concealed the information from Majnun because they knew the infatuation. And I say, Ishq ba murda na bayat paidar. Ishq ba murda na bayat paidar. That love that you want, then that love should be Ishq ba hay ya qayyum dar. When you want to show your heart, you want to give your heart off, you want to give your heart away, then give your heart away to something that is not perishable, that is living, that is constant, that is continuous. It's always. Right? There is no such a thing like it's an interval. It's not perpetual. It's going to be, it won't be. La uhibbul afilin. See, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he taught us this sabak. Falamma janna alayhi al-layl. And then he says, La uhibbul afilin. I can't put my heart to a thing that is perishable, that is going to move away. How can I put my heart to it? I'm going to move away, or it's going to move away. But the fact that it's going to move away, that is reason enough. It is reason enough that I mustn't attach my heart to it entirely. Yes, for the running, smooth running of this world, you'll need to have a little bit of attachment. Right? You will need to have some attachment. Otherwise, it will be impossible for you to fulfill the rights of your wife and your subordinates. So Allah has created it such that you have some type of love for your wife and your subordinates. Right? And genuine, if Allah didn't create the love, then you won't have been able to fulfill their rights. So that's a blessing. Right? You will think, well, this is one person and that is another person. Now, when he is one person, he is another person, he must do his own thing, I must do my own thing, so I don't need to fulfill rights. But now, when Allah Ta'ala has created that type of love, that type of bond, so on account of that bond, you feel you have an obligation. And on account of that love, that bond and that affinity, now you are spending. You're spending your time, you're spending your wealth, you're spending everything on them. They are spending also, as they become capable, they are spending upon you. So what is this? This is a result of that bond. It's a result of that affinity that Allah Ta'ala has created. خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُم مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. He has created your spouses. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. That you may find peace and tranquility with their association, with associating with the wife, or you find tranquility, you find peace, you feel a degree of comfort. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. So this love and affinity, Allah Ta'ala made it. He made it possible that you have a love for them. And He did it so that you can fulfill their rights. Don't you see that hen has got the chicks, right? And as it got the chicks, now it becomes like a terror. Before, it would fight for everything. Even a rat will chase it away. But now, it will charge a lion also. Although the lion may kill it, but it will not hesitate to charge the lion. What has come into it? Allah Ta'ala distilled that love into that animal. See? So Allah Ta'ala instills the love into our hearts so that we can discharge their rights. And when we discharge their rights, then Allah Ta'ala will reward us for that. You take that luqma and put it into the wife's mouth, the wasab for that. Just that luqma, she could have done it herself, couldn't she do it for herself? Well, it's so heavy that you have to pick it up for her. She couldn't manage keep picking it up. She could do all this, but it's a token that I have a liking, I have consideration, I have love for you, and on account of that I'm doing this. Just that one, picking up that of that morsel and putting it into the mouth, and there's sawab for you. Do you see that? So Allah Ta'ala has created this so that you can execute, you can discharge all the rights, all the responsibilities. That responsibility and that right doesn't seem to be a burden for you. Now it's a pleasure. Otherwise you'll be stressing, this person's right here, now that person's right, and his obligation and her obligation. Don't you see the mother thereafter stressing behind her children? Do this homework, get that assignment, go to school on time. What is this? This is love, this is bond. Now you can't explain it. There's no words to explain bond. There's no words to explain love. But Allah Ta'ala creates this thing, that my child must prosper, he must grow something in life, he must become something in life. Although the mother or the father is not really concerned that this child must, son must do something for me afterwards when I grow up. All he's concerned about, this child of mine must prosper. Whether he returns the favor to me or not, that's a different issue. But this child of mine must prosper. So that's the whole focus of that parent. Do you see? It's a selfless muhabbat and affinity, and this is the result of that muhabbat that Allah Ta'ala has instilled in your heart. But what happens to us is, thereafter, with this love here, we get confused. We give our hearts so much to that love that we forget the rights of the creator of love. We give away our hearts so much to this love, to the children and wife and all that, that we forget the creator of love. Who is the creator of love? He's someone else. And in the process thereafter, we begin to tramp his rights, Allah's rights, and people's rights, and everybody's rights. We begin to tramp because of these people, because of their comfort, because of their luxury. You see that? Because of their luxury and their comfort, we tramp, we don't hesitate in tramping the rights of Allah Ta'ala. We don't hesitate in tramping the rights of people. Why? We don't understand that this type of a love is just a temporary love. It is there so that you can discharge their rights correctly. You may not disregard them. You may show them love, muhabbat, and fulfill the rights correctly with kindness, Bil ma'roof, the Quran Sharif says, with kindness. Respectfully, you discharge their rights. But the Quran warns you again, amwalukum wa awladukum fitna. Inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum. Wives, etc. They're enemies. When they become enemies, when you don't know your limits, you don't know where you must cut off, where you don't know the cutting off point, thereafter you cross the limits. Now you're tramping Allah's rights, you're tramping people's rights. Why? Because of the wife and the child. The wife and the child, they become the primary thing, they become the goal, they become the major concern, and everything else is forgotten. So it is Allah Ta'ala that you are working for. And that is what Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah is saying. Ishq ba hayyo qayyum dar. Ishq ba murda na bayat paidar. Ishq ba murda na bayat paidar. The love that you have for the thing that is perishable is not a lasting love. It's not a lasting love. It can't. How can it be? The thing has to perish or you will perish. The love will go, finish. One of the two. But Allah Ta'ala is lasting. He is enduring. He is permanent. There is no end for him. He is infinite. Right? There is no end. There is no beginning. There is no end. He is lasting. He is always. He is like he was. There is no change in his beauty. In fact, his beauty is such that every time you look at him, there is a new excitement. لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلَى. Jannat. Forget Jannat. At least forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Jannat is so exciting that every coming moment is bringing a new excitement. Now that's a creation. And Jannat is a minuscule reflection of the beauty and the glory of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala himself, can you imagine what will be the glory? What will be the excitement? You look at him, again there's a new excitement. Simple illustration is coming to my mind to explain the glory and the unending beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See all creation, what are they? What are they? The reflection of the beauty of Allah ta'ala, right? Now ask your heart, right? It is a new girl, will you want to see or not? It is a strange girl, will you want to see or not? You will not see, it's haram, permissible, will you want to see? So your heart's desire to look for some change doesn't end. When it doesn't end, then it's a reflection of Allah ta'ala. Can you imagine the storage of beauty Allah ta'ala has got? What storage and what stocks of beauty he's got? Then what will be his beauty then? When the storage of beauty, when the reflection, and this whole world, this universe is nothing, kachara. Right? Like the hadith says it, jifa. In the eyes of Allah ta'ala is jifa, it's a corpse. So Allah ta'ala is looking at you with disgust. So what beauty can there be in this? Then Jannat, what will be the beauty in Jannat? And then Allah Ta'ala himself, what will be the beauty? Can you imagine? It's unconceivable, beyond our imagination. So what he says, that ishq bahai o qayyum dar. You want to give your heart, then the heart must be to the one that is living, eternal. And he is in control of all affairs. Right? When you want to give your love, then there must be two qualities, two features in that person. One is he must be eternal, always living. And number two, he must be in control of everything. Everything, every atom he must be in control of. There must be nothing controlling him. He must be in control, supreme control. So Qayyum means the one that is in supreme control, absolute control. In control of beauty, in control of excitement, in control of muhabbat and love. In control of everything, every atom. So he is in supreme control. See, when you read Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. Al-hayyul qayyum. We just say Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. Al-hayyul qayyum. But do we ever reflect on these meanings? See, this small word, but what a mountain of a meaning it's got. He's in supreme control, absolute control over every single muscle, every single atom of the earth. So when you want to give your heart, then you give your heart to that one who is in control, absolute control. He's eternal. There's no beginning, there's no end. He's in control of everything, of love, of beauty, of greatness, of supremacy, of excitement, of pleasure, of comfort. He's in control. So when he's in control of it, then he's in control, absolutely, in absolute control of your heart. He knows what your heart wants. You will give it every moment. This moment you want this, and you want something else, and you want something else. So he's in control of it. When he's in control, then he will see it. Therefore, لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. When he's in control of your heart, when you enter Jannat, then you don't want to move away from there. Like here in the earth, you see in one phase of life. I don't want to go back now. Many old men, I remember there was an old man, yeah, Hashim Bhai, passed away now. So, regular namaz, alhamdulillah. So, one day after Jummah namaz, meeting him, so someone told him, Allah Pak, restore your life, your youth, and all that. So, now I want to go back now. I want to go home, go to Allah Pak's place now. I'm not a very, very learned person, but he was a regular namazi, right? And his words were, no, I had enough now. I want to go out now. I want to go out. So that means this world has got excitement, but the excitement is limited. After a period, then that excitement wears out. When it wears out, you want to see something else. Now you saw all this, wife, children, grandchildren, getting married, nikah, and all that, money, all you saw everything. Now then what? You want a different meaning to life. You went through one phase, one horizon is over, and you want to see a higher thing. You want to see something higher. You've gone through this all the time. You've gone through it. You've seen every aspect of it. Now you want to see something else. So we were talking about this Layla Majnoon, and he heard about his Layla dying, you see. And they concealed the information. When they concealed the information, he got to know. Right. Now, there's no sign and no way how he's going to locate his Mahbub's grave. And that poetry goes, وَطَيِّبُ تِيبِ تُرْبَةِ الْمَحْبُوبِ يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْمَحْبُوبِ, something like that. The scent of the beauty of the beloved, right? The scent of the beauty of the beloved will show you her exact location. By the morning they saw that Mahbub had, that Majnoon had unearthed the entire grave, and there that Majnoon's Layla was lying before him. You see that? See Muhabbat and Ishq. But the tragedy of this Ishq is that it's perishable. It's going to go towards destruction, towards ruin, whether you like it or not, it's going that end. You know, my one friend, Muhammad, he's changed his life. So he told me that I understood the perishable nature of this life, how I understood it, since when I was doing my matric, you know. He did his matric around early 1960s. So I was in my matric, I'm studying very hard to pass and all that. And then just to throw off that frustration, I would go into the bioscope, you know, 3 hours, just relax, chill off a little bit, and come out of it. I thought I'd get refreshed. But when that film is just ending up, I would realize that this is just a farce. You know, it is just a farce. It's not reality. I will still have to face up to the realities of life. This was just to take my mind off a little bit, you know. Get off that frustration. But really, the challenges of life, I'll still have to face them. So I don't need to bluff myself with this. So that reality of the hereafter, you will have to face up to it. You know, we bluff ourselves a little bit, all right, toys, enjoyment, picnic, party, hotel, holiday, etc. Bluff ourselves just to get ourselves out of the frustration, out of the stress and all that, to de-stress, unwind, all this type of alfaz they say. So we use all these words, all right. We don't say it's impermissible and haram. If it's done in a permissible way, in a permissible mahol and environment, we don't say it's haram. In fact, to a certain degree, some type of sports is recommended as well. The smaller children, it's recommended more for them. Yusuf alayhi salam, brothers said, أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدَيْ يَرْتَعُ وَيَلَبْ. That send, they asked their father, send him, he will eat nicely, and he will play around with us. So at that age, that playing and the sports is required. Even someone is a little bit grown up, then he requires a little bit of sports, a little bit of running and all that, to cheer himself. He will require all that. Whether it's sports, whether it's a little bit of amusement, but something just to de-stress. Right? So we are talking about this Majnoon, you know. And I'm showing you muhabbat with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. I'm showing you muhabbat. Layla had made an announcement that I'm going to serve out Aleem tomorrow. Aleem, I'm just using for my own side. She wants to serve something for all, whatever. The whole neighborhood, she wants to serve something for some nazar or some mandat that she made, and she wants to serve out Aleem, right? Olden days now. So she got that big pot and she's serving out that Aleem, whatever it is. Made a mandat, she made a vow that if this thing happens, then I will do this. So that thing must have happened, and she's now accomplishing, completing that mandat that she had taken. She got the whole pot and she's serving. So Majnoon heard that my Layla is serving, so why must I get left out? I don't want the Aleem. The Aleem is not an important thing, but just to see her, for her to be serving, you know, that's enough to bring me the comfort of the heart. So he stood in the line of the faqirs, all the garibs that are standing on the line. He said, why must I get left out? Let me also stand in that line. Everybody's getting served. Here, this Majnoon comes on the line. And Majnoon comes, she takes that bowl of Majnoon and she busts it, breaks it. And he went into an ecstasy. He's jumping. For joy, he's jumping. Now, people can't understand this. Why? Everybody got the Aleem, whatever it was, and they were taking, they were going away. And here, this man here, the little bowl he had, was Kartikan. That wasn't right. And here, she takes that bowl and she busts it, and this man is jumping with ecstasy. So ask Majnoon the secret. Ask Majnoon the secret. That when Layla treated him, she treated him indifferently to the others. That means there is a special bond here. You are all fakirs, all garibs, all right, got your Aleem and went away. But you are something different. You see, you are something different, so we will treat you differently. I was just thinking of this incident. My mind reflected on that verse. يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ قُلَّا تَعْتَذِرُونَ نُؤْمِنَ لَكُمْ فَإِنْ تَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. It was after the Battle of Tabuk, and the Munafiqeen are presenting false excuses, right? And Rasulullah is taking the excuses, all right, carry on, carry on. But Allah Pak warns him, if you show that you have consented, you know, you have consented and you've agreed and you're happy with them, remember Allah Ta'ala can never be pleased with the fasiq. Right? Now, these people, Rasulullah is showing that he approved of their non-attendance. Non-participation, Rasulullah is showing that he's approved of their non-participation. Right? But then when it comes to those three sahaba, right, when they come, Hilal and Hazrat Ka'b radiallahu ta'anhu, when they come, then Rasulullah don't want to even talk to them. Boycotted them. Do you see that? These other munafiqeen, he showed some happiness, he showed a smile on their face, and gone, they gone, finish. But when these three people came, the Nabi has boycotted them. That you are a special relationship. Your relationship is not the same. When your relationship is not the same, then you'll be treated differently. After 50 days had passed, and the Tawbah was announced, you see, Hazrat Ka'b radiallahu anhu says, that had this boycott not taken place, I wouldn't have been happy. Now this boycott has taken place, Allah Pak himself is endorsing his love for us. Allah Pak himself is endorsing his love for us, and that love that is never mutilable, it can't be mutilated, it can't be erased. That is that love Allah Pak is announcing from the seventh heavens. عَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ قُلِّفُوا. So that's a love that can't be mutilated, it can't be erased, it can't be wiped out. It's going to last, it's going to remain right till the day of Qiyamah. So had it not happened, we wouldn't have been so pleased. Now you understand this. Layla busting that bowl. The relationship is different. The muhabbat is different. It's not the ordinary love, it's a different love. With the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today we are talking of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this love, it starts off with us being more careful, more cautious about all these mustahabbat, smaller sins and smaller good works. Smaller good works and smaller makruhat, you know, sins and all that. We don't ever have that attitude. You know, it's not too bad. Not too bad. Don't have that attitude. No, it's bad. It's bad. It's going to bring destruction. It's going to bring ruin. You are concerned about it. Every small thing, and it brings a fikr, it brings a concern. Hazrat Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullahi. But that person who has tasted love, he can speak like this. Who has not tasted love, then it will be like me. We're just talking. It's a narrative, you see. It's a narrative. We didn't taste love. One who's tasted love, then his talk is different. See. So Hazrat Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullahi. Once he sees Rasulullah SAW in his dream, and Rasulullah SAW is telling him, Mu'inuddin, hamare saath muhabbat ka dawa, aur hamari baaton ko chhodte hain, ke you claim to have love for us, and then you leave out our practices, our sunnats. He had made wuzu, and he forgotten to make the khilal of the fingers. You know, you make khilal of the fingers, of the beard and all that. That's a mustahab, it's a sunnat. Right? But now, ye taalluq ki baat hai. What? Ye taalluq ki baat hai. Jisse pyaar hota hai, usko kaha jata hai. When you have a love for someone, then you tell him. Right? There are a lot of people, kafirs, non-Muslims, all running outside. Right? We don't have an affinity and a bond with them. So we don't tell them. If they're doing some, they are not disciplined, we don't shout at them, right? Why? Because we don't have a bond with them. He's interfering with some girl, whatever they're doing. But if it's your own child, if his one button is not right, say, son, your button is not right. Son, there is a stain on your kurta, on your trousers, his trouser is not right, there's something wrong, right? Don't you point it out to him. This is a mahabbat hota hai, usko kaha jata hai. When you have a love for the person, then his small mistakes, we pull it out. But when we don't have the taluk and the relationship, then the biggest of wrong he does, we don't bat an eye for the wrong that he's done. But that muhabbat we have got, now we show it. Why? It's an affinity, it's a muhabbat, it's a love. And the small aspect, if there is a inconsistency in a small aspect, then to bring it out. So you see, do you see his level of love, his level of muhabbat, that one mustahab is left out, and then Allah Pak is showing it to him. Rasulullah SAW is showing to him, hamari saad muhabbat ka dawa, aur phir hamari sunnate, hamari baate ko chhora jata hai. And love, you claim to have our love, but then our ways and all that, what about that? He got up with a shock. You see, jisko muhabbat ka chaska ho gaya, the one that has got his tasted love, then his responses is different. Maybe one of us, how we will respond, all right, now next time I will be more mindful, I will be more considerate about this. But muhabbat ka chaska ho gaya. He's got muhabbat. Right? And he's got muhabbat, he has to atone for the wrong that he has done. In our eyes, it's not a wrong. He just left one mustahab out, right? So when he's left a mustahab out, does he need to atone for that? Does he need to correct that wrong? No. So in future, I'll be more mindful. I'll be more careful about my leaving out that mustahab. See? Hazrat Muhammad related this incident and he says, thereafter, for approximately six months, he offered 100 rakats of namaz every day. Okay? 100 rakats of namaz every day, that I left out this. And Nabi Samet warned me. Now I need to return the heart to the original condition. You see, the relationship must be returned. You see, muhabbat. Yes, I'll just read one incident that you understand what this muhabbat is about. One friend was telling me that his very close friend, you know, very, very close friend, in the course of a conversation, the friend told him something. So he got angry and he told his friend that, you know, I don't do 1 person's job, I do 10 person's job. What do you know about me? He just told him this much. It was a very close relationship, the friend got cut off. He went away. Now, he realized the evening that I didn't conduct myself correctly when asking for mafi. Now, both are crying, but I didn't expect this of you. Our relationship, and you have to say me this much. You see, jis se muhabbat hota hai, to isko kaha jata hai. To repair the relation thereafter, it took him about 1-2 months now, to repair the relation, just one sentence you said, out of place, but it broke the person's heart. See, So who had enjoyed that love, he had tasted that muhabbat, he would be concerned about atoning for it. But you don't have that degree of love, then you will be concerned about it.